Chapter 11. The Unbound Flame Rekindled. Neuros pressed a hand to his side. Something dark and thick leaked through his armored fingers, his efforts at staunching the flow of blood ineffective. He didn't remember taking the hit, but then the skirmish in the Chthonic Blood's Engenarium defied cogency in its freneticism. It had cut him deeply. He knew that much. His body would compensate. His blood would clot and his wounds seal. But none of that would matter if they were blasted out of the void. The three gunships, fire blackened, engines roaring, catapulted out of the tear in the Chthonic Blood's flank and ran almost immediately into a debris field. Still groggy from his wounds, vaguely aware of his hand being taken from his side and Kaelar Norn stepping in, Neuros barely felt the sudden lurch as the ship dived sharply. He scarcely appreciated the rapid bank to port or the abrupt jerk to starboard, a zagging trajectory intended to stave off an ignominious void death for everyone aboard.
"Pilot,"
said Neuros, breathy, nodding to his apothecary as the pain began to ease.
"The other ships."
A pause as the gunship lurched again, the shriek of its engines like white noise inside the hold. Then the pilot replied,
"We are still three, Captain. No, wait, four."
Even Norn paused in his silent ministrations to lift his head.
"Enemy?"
asked Neuros, his voice a half growl. Subconsciously, he tightened the grip on his sword. Another pause, preceding another deft maneuver. They yawed hard to port. Norn cursed, lasbeams stitched across the viewslits.
"I think Brother Otath seeks to test you, Raven,"
said Neuros, glancing at the apothecary, his humour returning with his health.
"The ship,"
he pressed, asking the pilot again.
"Is friendly," came the reply at last. "Salamanders, Captain. It is 18th Legion, Salamanders. The Vulcanus."
"Where did it come from?"
"Apparently from nowhere, Captain. I had nothing on sensors, and then it was there."
Neuros said to Norn,
"The warp."
The apothecary considered it, but shook his head. "Not passable."
"Then from where?"
"Captain,"
the voice of the pilot intruded.
"Speak, Otath."
"Incoming vox from the gunship."
"Put it through."
Otath jacked up the return, so those in the hold could hear it over the clamour.
"This is Agon Gargo, pilot of the Thunderhawk Vulcanus. We need aid, brothers. Our vessel is damaged. We have the unbound flame. I say again, we have the unbound flame."
Neuros stopped. He stopped moving. He stopped breathing. Even his thoughts ground to stasis.
"Neuros,"
said Norn urgently, noticing the same sudden reaction among every salamander in the hold capable of hearing the vox.
"What is the unbound flame?"
Otath had already ramped the engines to maximum as they speared for the ship, identifying itself as the Vulcanus.
"It is the Primarch,"
Neuros breathed.
"Vulcan lives."
The Iron Heart burned. Fire suppression servitors roved the bridge, tireless as the ship trembled against the enemy's barrage. Medjuson and the other legionaries had maglocked their boots to the command dais. The mortal crew had no such facility, and clung to consoles or shuddering guide rails as they staggered across the deck. The tactical hololith flickered, went down, and then stuttered back into life again. A bank of cogitators exploded, throwing uniformed men and women backwards. A servitor lurched from its alcove to retrieve the bodies. Sparks cascaded from the ceiling. The fire was contained. The battery continued.
"Shipmaster,"
growled Medjuson, a long cut down his forehead, crafting a jagged red tributary. The shipmaster lived, but held his left arm close to his body, the limb broken.
"Port side shields are failing, Lord."
"How far out are their reinforcements?"
"Within weapons range in minutes, Lord."
"Org,"
said Medjuson, absorbing the scene of carnage playing out across the oculus. Ships on both sides had been badly gouged. Streams of fuel and other fluids hung in the void like a slick. Cold detonations bloomed, silent, deadly. Void distortion raged across both fleets like heavy static. A carefully and meticulously planned raid had turned into an attritional slugfest. Medjuson cursed finding the plans. He recognized them for a trap, a poisoned feast from Mar that he had gladly accepted. Now he was choking on it.
Org,
Medjuson repeated, firmer, louder.
I have contact,
Org replied, as a voice cut through a deluge of Vox interference.
Red Talon engaging,
said Ortek Moore, his fearsome timbre unmistakable.
The other freighters?
Asked Org, not waiting for Medjuson, having adjudged that speed preceded protocol.
Are engaging at my order.
Mikosa shared a worried glance with Medjuson, but the war leader nodded. Org gave second signal.
Confirmed,
said Moore, in a deathly rasp befitting his grim reputation. The Vox cut off as Moore ended the exchange. A second fleet of Iron Hands vessels appeared at the edge of the Hololith. They had stalked the Sons of Horus ships at the corward edge of the flotilla, and now that the enemy had turned, were free to bombard their rear aspects. Two enemy ships died swiftly, scythed apart and then sundered by reactor overloads. Twin supernovas blazed magnesium bright, lighting up the void in an ephemeral nuclear sunrise. The Red Talon, surging aggressively at the four of the chasing ships, killed them both. Medjuson could imagine Moore carving a mental tally mark for each one, but was glad to be the beneficiary of the Iron Father's wrath, rather than its recipient. The Iron Heart weathered the next barrage, and the next. With Moore as their brutal killing edge, the other freighters had little to do but threaten and apply the finishing blow to already crippled ships. It was enough. Even with their reinforcements, the Sons of Horus disengaged. Several ships stayed behind to secure the escape of the others and were badly punished for their heroism. It left a bad taste in Medjuson's mouth, even though he knew this was how it had to end. Moore wanted to pursue, and even voxed his intentions, but both the Sawrod and Unyielding Glory were badly bleeding. No ship of the Iron Hands vanguard had come away unscathed, and without the other freighters, who had no appetite for sadism, Moore would have traded an advantageous position for a disadvantageous one. And so he relented, prowling at the edge of the battered Iron Hands fleet instead. On the bridge of the Iron Heart, the klaxon screamed on, even as the crew slumped into grateful silence. They had survived. They had won. But it was not the manner of victory that Medjuson had wanted. Several enemy ships drifted inert, a few thousand kilometers away. Their wounds polluted the void, bleeding bodies and micro-wreckage.
Shall I send in boarding parties, War Leader?
Mikosa asked after the warning klaxons had been silenced by Org.
That many supply ships.
His words died on his lips as he made eye contact with Org.
They are empty, brother,
said the freighter, his mood downcast.
Ma will have seen to it.
A reconnoitering of the stricken vessels might yet yield.
No, said Medjuson flatly.
That's what he wants, for us to bleed ourselves white fighting his murder gangs and kill squads. Make no mistake, Captain, his ravenous dogs are aboard those ships. I'll not make further sacrifice by committing men to them. Arm vortex torpedoes, every ship in the vanguard. I want nothing left, not even atoms.
Medjuson stalked from the bridge as Mikosa took command and relayed the order.
War Leader,
Org began.
Shadrach.
Medjuson paused as he reached the blast doors that led off the bridge.
It was a good victory, said Org. Hard fought, but good.
The first of many,
Medjuson said after a moment, and then carried on.